This is James Jones, Green Bay Packers wide receiver, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football in kind of a little bit of a skip from the norm. We're going to be joined by a guest on today's show, but it's not at the beginning of the show. We're going to have Andrew Garda, Cheesehead TV's own Andrew Garda, a member of the Pro Football Writers of America, call into the show at some point between now and the end of the show. I'm not sure when, but that's no big deal. Andrew's just going to call us when he's available. He couldn't make it right at the beginning of the show, but no big deal. He's going to call us, and we're going to talk about the PFWA Rookie of the Year Award that was handed out yesterday to Packers running back Eddie Lacy. Congratulations to Eddie Lacy on winning that award. Definitely an honor. And we wanted to get a member of the PFWA to talk about the voting process, talk about Lacy's season, and a couple of the other things in regards to the NFL's all-rookie team, in which David Bakhtiari and Micah Hyde got snubbed. And we're going to find out why when we talk to Andrew Garda of CheeseheadTV.com in just a little while. Until Andrew calls, and we're all set for him, he's going to call in. You're going to actually hear my phone ring. I'm going to answer it, and he's going to be live on air. But until that moment, I wanted to talk about some other things going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers here on a Wednesday. Kind of not, you know, being that the season just ended a little over a week ago, there's not a whole lot going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers. The one thing that is this week is the All-Star Game circuit. General Manager Ted Thompson, if you've been following our Packers calendar posts here at CheeseheadTV.com, you know that Ted Thompson is at the East-West Shrine Game this week. He's checking out prospects, checking out the newest class of the Green Bay Packers, who he might draft in the upcoming NFL draft. And what's happening today is there's another All-Star Game going on this week out in California called the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl. Their practices are televised today. I believe two separate sessions from like noon to 2 p.m. Central Time, and again from 3 to 5 p.m. Central Time, the other team will practice. And they're kind of getting ready, and you'll see exactly what the Packers scouts are seeing out there in California, out on the practice field, seeing these prospects up close. So kind of a good opportunity for fans to check out NFL draft prospects, and you'll see what you might even see Packers scouts on the sidelines or up in the stands as they kind of sit there and take notes, maybe take mental notes about these guys declaring for the NFL draft and getting ready to put their best foot forward, as it were. But I think, you know, one of the bigger items of news yesterday regarding the Green Bay Packers that I wanted to discuss a little bit is former Packers quarterbacks coach Ben McAdoo leaving the team and going to become the new offensive coordinator of the New York Giants, accepting that job yesterday. News kind of broke yesterday evening that was the case. And apparently, Ben McAdoo was not in the running for the head coaching job of the Cleveland Browns, which he actually interviewed for, reportedly, a week ago. Either he was told he wouldn't be getting the job, or he just couldn't afford to wait any longer, so he accepted the New York Giants offensive coordinator gig. It stands as a promotion. McAdoo was just a quarterbacks coach in Green Bay, and I don't mean to say just a quarterbacks coach, like that's, something bad. But this does stand as a promotion for him, getting a step up the ladder in the coaching ranks and becoming at least one step closer to his ultimate goal, I assume, of becoming a head coach in the NFL, seeing as he did interview for the Browns coaching position, which is still open. I don't know. They must not have really have been enamored with McAdoo. He is rather young for an NFL head coach. Maybe they just feel it's not quite his time yet. But McAdoo was thought to be in play elsewhere. I kind of considered perhaps the most likely landing spot. He also interviewed with the Miami Dolphins. And, of course, there's the connection there between Dolphins head coach Joe Philbin, former Packers offensive coordinator, and kind of Philbin being McAdoo's superior for a time in Green Bay, and kind of the relationship between the two. I kind of expected, I thought, just, before things really got underway and you started to hear more about where he's interviewing and all that, if I was just forced to guess, I would have thought, McAdoo would have been more likely to land in Miami, but, the Giants offer him the job, so he's going to go over there, and now that's leaving an opening on the Packers staff. And that's kind of the biggest news regarding the Packers. Where do they go from here? Leaving an opening on the offensive side of the football. So the quarterback's coach job is now presently open. And you can kind of look at some of the internal candidates on the staff and wondering if they might do a little bit of reshuffling. There's kind of two candidates, I believe, could take over the quarterback's coach job. One would be current running backs coach Alex Van Pelt, who of course was previously quarterbacks coach for the Buffalo Bills, also for a time their offensive coordinator, a former NFL quarterback himself, albeit not a great one, but still a quarterback. This is a guy who's lived the quarterback lifestyle his whole life. He kind of seems like perhaps the most natural fit for perhaps becoming the next Packers quarterbacks coach. Or if not Van Pelt, you could perhaps see Edgar Bennett maybe taking that job. They really seem to like Edgar Bennett, and he's kind of jumped around a little bit in going from, at one point, the Packers running backs coach. Then when Jimmy Robinson left the Packers, he became the Packers wide receivers coach. You could tell they wanted Edgar Bennett to be exposed to different positions in kind of, a personal growth process. If he's going to climb up the NFL coaching ladder eventually, if he's going to become an offensive coordinator, if he's going to become a head coach, they thought it would be good for Edgar Bennett to kind of broaden his horizons and be more than just a coach of the position that he played. Of course, Edgar Bennett being a former running back for the Green Bay Packers back during the Super Bowl year back in the 1990s. But he going on to tutor a very talented position group in Green Bay, one of the more talented position groups in the entire NFL. You can think especially, last year, the year before that, when Greg Jennings was still around, coaching him and the likes of Donald Driver and Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb and James Jones and the young guys coming up now, like Jarrett Boykin. I mean, Edgar Bennett has done a pretty good job there at a position that is, really out of his comfort zone. So maybe there's that possibility he'll switch over to quarterbacks and kind of take on a new position there, learn a little more about the game, kind of some intricacies, and see what's happening from that perspective. So maybe that's the case. I would think Alex Van Pelt would be the more likely candidate, but hey, I can't really rule things out here. don't really know what's going to happen. Regardless, if either of those things do, it's going to leave a job open somewhere on the Packers staff. You know, whether it's they go outside the organization to hire a new quarterbacks coach, which I doubt it, but, you know, they could, you know, hire a new wide receivers coach or a new running backs coach if they make those internal shifts on the offensive side of the football. So it's really difficult for me to talk about candidates right now about who the Packers might hire, who they might bring in, because we don't really know what position it's going to be at, et cetera, et cetera. I would assume the Packers aren't going to wait too long here to find a new coach of their own. It'll, you know, not that it's, you know, the most pressing thing in the world. I'm sure they'll conduct some interviews, things like that, and probably in a week or two from now, we'll have a new coach we'll be talking about here on the show and see what's happening there. Kind of also coming down the pike yesterday, there was a report, I think it was from ESPN, that Packers inside linebackers coach Winston Moss, also their assistant head coach, is a candidate to kind of receive a promotion as well, perhaps a candidate for the Tennessee Titans defensive coordinator position. Nothing is official yet. Nothing has happened. In fact, the Tennessee Titans just hired their own head coach. Ken Wisenhunt was hired as the new Titans head coach, but he's kind of looking to fill out a staff there. And reportedly, according to ESPN, Winston Moss is a candidate for that defensive coordinator position. Again, nothing final. It's just kind of speculation at this point, or, you know, being reported out there. But that could be another thing where the Packers have another position to fill. That'll leave a spot open at inside linebacker. I'm not really sure if the defensive coaches are more prone to, shifting in the organization internally, whether they would fill that somewhere else. But another thing that would also be interesting as well is, you know, Winston Moss is the Packers' assistant head coach. Should anything happen to Mike McCarthy, God forbid, knock on wood, Winston Moss would take over the head coaching position. That would leave that open to any assistant coach. As you can tell, it doesn't necessarily have to be a coordinator. Winston Moss is just a position coach, but maybe I'll throw this question out to the live blog. Who do you think would become the assistant head coach of the Green Bay Packers if Winston Moss were to leave? Do you think it would be one of the coordinators? Do you think it would be Dom Capers? Do you think it would be Tom Clements? Or would it be a position coach? Could it perhaps be Edgar Bennett, who we talked about? All those guys have been around on the staff for quite a while. I might throw Darren Perry out as perhaps being a candidate for that. Those, in my mind, would be the most likely candidates for assistant head coach, maybe even special teams coach Sean Slocum. I would think among those, that small pool of candidates would be the most likely, I think assistant head coach for that possibility should Winston Moss leave. And again, nothing official here, just kind of speculating at this point, but that could come down the pike sooner or later. I don't know really the time frame that the Titans have for hiring. Wisenhunt just got there, but I don't think it'll take too long. And hey, we have Andrew Garda calling into the show. Let's take his call. Hello, Andrew Garda. You're live on Railbird Central here at Cheesehead TV.
How's it going, Mr. Caribou? How's it going?
Very good. Glad to have you joining us. I'm glad to have a member of the Pro Football Writers of America join us to talk about kind of the voting that went on yesterday. Of course, this show's all about the Green Bay Packers, so we want to talk about Eddie Lacy with you. Now tell me, Mr. Garda, what did you see out of Eddie Lacy this season that made him Rookie of the Year material?
I think he was a good reason why the Green Bay Packers ended up in the playoffs this past season. Aaron Rodgers went down, and Lacy had been very impressive before that. Aside from getting hurt, he ran tough. He was very durable after he came back from getting knocked out for one game. It had been great yards per carry. I love what I see from him each and every week. But once Rodgers went down, and they kept having to change quarterbacks. Lacy was seeing an awful lot of stacked fronts. And, it's one thing when that's a guy like Adrian Peterson or, LeSean McCoy, where they're a veteran, they've got that experience, but to see a rookie come in and still manage to get positive yards and take over games the way that Eddie Lacy does, it was really impressive. I mean, I broke him down several times along with doing Bleacher Report stuff and GZ TV stuff. I also write for a fantasy site called Football Guys, and one of the teams that I recap is the Packers. So every week I got to watch Eddie Lacy, and every week I found something new that he was doing to improve his game. He showed tremendous field vision. He made, for the most part, very quick, very determined decisions. He would see the hole, he would hit the hole, and when a running lane was stuffed, he would cut back the other way and extend the play. It was really, to me, it's probably one of the better rookie running back performances I've seen in a really long time, because as much as we say that you can step into running back straight from college and it's a relatively simple position considering, we still see a lot of running backs who come in and struggle, and Lacy was absolutely not that guy. And if he doesn't have the season he has, I don't think the Green Bay Packers make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, that certainly could be the case. I mean, he was no doubt about it. I mean, you're talking to an audience here that knows intimately how good Eddie Lacy can be. My question, did you vote for Eddie Lacy for Rookie of the Year?
Well, here's where we're going to part ways. I actually voted for Keenan Allen.
Okay.
To me, and I've had many discussions with Packer fans, so this actually shouldn't be shocked to anybody who follows me on Twitter, but I've always felt like it was kind of a coin flip between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I really felt like it's so difficult for a rookie wide receiver to have an impact, especially when there's nobody else around him. And yet week in, week out, Allen was able to put up very good numbers. Once he too, like Lacy, had injury issues early in the season. And there came a point where he was carrying that offense, from a passing standpoint as well. But really it was one of those things where I said that Lacy was my second choice, and saying offensive rookie of the year, or rookie of the year is Keenan Allen, the offensive rookie of the year is Eddie Lacy to me. And had I voted Eddie Lacy as the rookie of the year, I would have flipped that, and Keenan Allen would have been the offensive rookie of the year. I think they both were fantastic this season. And, it's one of those things where how often, I think, do you have, two non-quarterbacks that are this tight for this sort of award? Most of the time it's whoever is the best quarterback. And this year, because the quarterback class was so shaky, we have to really, I think, take a look at two very good, offensive players that weren't quarterbacks. So I had voted for Keenan Allen. I'm sure I'll get stoned for it on Twitter, but most of the guys who follow me on Twitter already knew that. So
I can't argue with your line of thinking in that you vote one for Rookie of the Year and the other for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Had I voted, I probably would have done the exact same thing. I didn't vote, so I don't know exactly what I would have done, but I see your line of thinking there. The NFL's official Rookie of the Year award, they actually leave it up to fan voting, but it's the Associated Press that votes for an offensive and a defensive Rookie of the Year. Do you think Lacy will get the Associated Press award as well, or do you think it'll be Allen?
Again, I think it could go either way, but I probably would imagine that Lacey would. I kind of sometimes look at the PFWA awards sort of like the Golden Globes. You know, you see the Golden Globes, they give you a pretty fair indication of who's going to win Emmys and Oscars. So, I'm certain that it could go either way, but I would say that having seen that my fellow PFWA members voted for Lacey, I would think there's a fairly strong chance that he'll win it from the AP.
Well, that's music to Packer fans' ears, at least. I think there's a little bit of a feeling here, Andrew, that Packers offensive lineman David Bakhtiari got snubbed, maybe, from the PFWA's all-rookie team with DJ Fluker of the Chargers and Justin Pugh of the Giants being named as the tackles to the all-rookie team. What do you think there? Should Bakhtiari have been named as part of the all-rookie team?
I think he had a very strong case. You know, it's one of those things where you almost wish you could kind of see what the numbers were, because I can't imagine he's very far behind Fluker or Pugh. And you know, I actually think he and Pugh would have been an interesting combination, because they were very similar in some respects, and that I think a lot was asked of them in their initial season that perhaps wasn't expected of them. I mean, you expect them to play well, but I think they had to take on a little bit more of a burden than initially the teams were planning on. I think to some extent it could be that from a reputation standpoint right now, the Green Bay Packers, I feel, sort of have that their offensive line struggles isn't very good narrative, sort of like the Chicago Bears. You know, with the Bears, it was much more of a case. Mm-hmm. I think that a guy like Bakhtiari or any of the offensive line for the Packers, it's one of those things where, it might hurt them a little bit when Aaron Rodgers is under center, because the idea is, he has to scramble, he has to leave the pocket, and that always falls on the offensive line. So hey, it could be that he, took a little bit of flack, for want of a better term, just because, it's an offensive line right now that people look at and don't really think much of, and that probably colors an awful lot of their perceptions.
Yeah, I can understand that. Now, if I'm correct, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here, I think both Fluker and Pugh played right tackle. I'm not sure if there was ever a switch. Did Pugh ever play left tackle? Do you think that what Bakhtiari did at left tackle should deserve merit compared to, what's perceived as kind of a less valuable position on the right side of the offensive line, if you're talking about a right-handed quarterback protecting the quarterback's backside?
Yeah, I think you're right. Fluker played a few games at left tackle, but okay. Pugh totally was a right tackle.
Okay.
I think you're right. I that's something that when I was looking at tackles across the board and the offensive line positions across the board, that's the difficulty for me, is balancing, how much which position along the line they play on what side, is really, how much did that influence my actual thoughts on it? Ultimately, I think you do have to really sort of appreciate when a guy like Bakhtiari can step in and play even relatively well on the left side. The problem is only because, he did struggle at times there, but mm-hmm. he was there for, over 1,100 snaps. He had a myriad of different quarterbacks behind him for quite a while, and mm-hmm. it's awfully hard to step in. The left tackles who came in, guys like, in fact, I was going to say like Luke Doakle and Lane Johnson, but half of them were either hurt or didn't really play much left tackle. I think that probably doesn't get taken into consideration the way it should, and that may have factored in. It may be that people didn't really think, about left or right tackle. They were just thinking about tackle.
We're talking to Andrew Garda of CheeseheadTV.com's own Andrew Garda, writer of the weekly Inside the Press Box column here at Cheesehead TV. Andrew, Not that I want to talk a lot about a punt returner, but maybe just briefly here. It's Tavon Austin of the St. Louis Rams was named the all-rookie team punt returner. And, of course, I think Packer fans think they had a pretty good one of their own in Micah Hyde. Who do you think deserved that honor?
I had Micah Hyde. And, you know, if you look at the stats, you know, and Tavon Austin and Micah Hyde both had a touchdown. They both had a huge return of 90-plus yards.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both, Tavon Austin, I believe, has like 280 yards. Hyde had 296 and did it in less attempts. He caught 24 punts, whereas Austin had 33 punts against 280. You know, and that's the part where I look at it, and Hyde was averaging over a dozen yards a return, whereas Austin was averaging just eight and a half. And to me, Hyde just stood out more for that. I think Austin may have won a bit because of the highlight reel stuff he was doing, even if it wasn't as a punter.
Mm-hmm.
The amazing highlights that Hyde didn't necessarily get. And, I don't know that, it's one of those things that, you never know how much anybody's paying attention to punters, or punt returners, I should say. But to me, like, I looked at what Hyde did, and I just came away as more impressed. I mean, and he also, shagged his fair share of kickoffs as well. And to me, he excelled in both of those. It's not punt returning, but I felt like overall he showed that he was a very, very effective returner, period. Austin may have won because of a little name recognition, but I felt like Hyde did the better job this year.
Give me a little bit of a preview here, Andrew. The PFWA announces its MVP and its Offensive and Defensive Players of the Year later today. Do you mind kind of disclosing who you voted for? I don't think we're going to have any Packers in this discussion, but just a little bit of a preview about what's to come.
Yeah, Defensive Player of the Year, I thought there were several really strong possibilities. I myself voted for Robert Quinn, St. Louis Rams. I felt like he did an excellent job this year. It was a combination of great pressure on the quarterback, the ability to do some coverage. I just really liked what he did, this year in terms of sort of stepping his game up overall. Offensive Player of the Year, I had LeSean McCoy. I really was impressed with how he ran the ball this year. I felt like he's always been a very good running back. He's always been an incredibly strong, dynamic playmaker. And I really felt like this year, it felt like he kind of stepped it up a notch. It's hard to describe the change in his game, but you could see that he was attacking the line a little bit differently. I felt like he was, making better choices in the open field and making better choices once he got second level. And it was just a very impressive season for him. And my MVP is Peyton Manning. And it's funny because there was a period where I was looking at what Tom Brady was doing with the New England Patriots with so little help. I mean, just week in, week out, the second half of the season, it just every week someone was doing something, ridiculous. Yep. And Brady was throwing his hands up. Julian Edelman, is like the mystery 1,000-yard receiver of the year. Amendola was a, bust of a signing this year because of injury. Gronkowski was hurt. But ultimately, you look at the numbers Manning did, and you think about the last couple of years, and just a couple of years ago when we said, he's done, he shouldn't come back. He's not going to be the same quarterback. And to see him breaking records, and, I guess we could debate how good Marius Thomas and Eric Decker really are, but since Manning showed up, they've been 1,000-yard receivers. And this year he added Julius Thomas to the, guys we had written off who were suddenly good because Peyton Manning's throwing to them things. So I was really, really impressed with him. I did make an argument in one column for the press box that you could make an interesting contrarian argument for Aaron Rodgers, because nobody's team suffered the way that his team suffered when he went down. I don't think you get much help for that, but I did think, it's a worthwhile discussion in terms of talking how important various players are And I don't know that anybody was more important to his team than Aaron Rodgers this year, because we just saw such a huge difference with the different quarterbacks there. You know, maybe it would have been different if they had had a really good backup, but, you know, ultimately you look at Rodgers and what the Packers did with him and without him. And again, you know, we could bring it back to where we started. Eddie Lacy. If it wasn't for Eddie Lacy, we'd have a much different season. So I thought that was a good contrarian argument, but ultimately I went with Peyton Manning.
Yeah, there's kind of always occasionally this discussion about people who take the most valuable player, you know, that definition of valuable, and like take it so literally, like you can kind of make the argument for Aaron Rodgers based upon just the word valuable alone, as opposed to maybe outstanding or something like that. But anyway, Andrew, it's good to get your perspective on these. I was glad to pick your brain a little bit about these rookie of the year and all rookie team kind of selections here. And if I'm correct, you're heading out to the Senior Bowl next week. Tell me about that.
Well, I'm really looking forward to it, not just for the barbecue. it should be interesting. I always like to see, you know, the seniors up close. Of course, some of the best, you know, quarterbacks won't be there because they're not seniors, guys like Bridgewater or Manziel. Mm-hmm. And it does look like Alabama quarterback A.J. McCarron will be playing. But, you know, last year, I would say actually every year, I feel like I go there and I come across someone who I knew about and had seen on tape, but for some reason impressed me more when I was in person. Last year was Eric Fisher. The year before was Russell Wilson. So I'm always excited to get down there and take a look around and see, you know, who's stepping it up, you know, who's really sort of showing me something extra, you know, who is really kind of going to shine coming forward. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, going to take a lot of look at the skilled players, but, you know, I'll keep an eye out for safety help for you Packer fans, because you can absolutely use it at this point. But it's always a great time, and I get to see some of the beat writer guys like Ty Dunn down there as well, and pick their brain, and it's a great excuse to go down and sort of you know, get to know some of the other teams as well by talking to the media, and you know, meanwhile we get to watch these athletes kind of start to show us a little bit of what they can do close up and personal.
I can remember 2 years ago, if I'm correct, I think you had like a one-on-one interview with Russell Wilson. You actually posted here at Cheesehead TV, I think during the Senior Bowl. It's crazy to think, you know, getting a one-on-one with Russell Wilson, probably impossible now, and yet there you are talking one-on-one with him at the Senior Bowl just a few years ago.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the great things about it. And one of the things I enjoy most about Monday, there's always a media night, which is when I got to talk to Russell Wilson. But you can also kind of hit up people up during the post-game practice session where just kind of wander the field and, you know, just chat with people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, if I'm a quarterback or if I'm any player and I have the opportunity to go to the Senior Bowl, I do it, especially if I'm a guy who, you know, had some question marks about me in any way, shape, or form. I'm not saying Russell Wilson, you know, did from a personality standpoint, but, you know, I certainly came away from talking to him at that time going, this kid, you know, is going to be an NFL quarterback. You know, I forget the hype, forget anything. Just talking to him, he's so sharp and he's so driven. You know, you just sort of got that sense that this is a guy who can really, you know, step it up, you know, on top of what you see from his game. It really sort of helps put it in perspective. So if I were, you know, any guy coming through with the opportunity to go to the Senior Bowl, I would. And, you know, I think the access to players is a big deal. I think if you look at, you know, the guys who, you know, go there and I think, you know, really start catching people's eyes, I have a feeling that you could trace it back to the accessibility they had, you know, we had on media night or after practice when we got to know them and, you know, and talk to them and really put in perspective what they do and who they are.
Well, we're looking forward to your coverage from Mobile, Alabama, Andrew, and we're glad to have you on the show this morning to talk a little bit about the PFWA voting process. Thanks for joining us, and looking forward to your coverage.
Yeah, should be good. I should have some notes every day next week that I'm in Mobile, which would be from Monday to Thursday morning. So And then, you know, we'll start amping up the draft coverage over there at Cheesehead TV, start looking forward.
All right. Sounds good. We'll talk to you later, Andrew.
All right. Take it easy. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Thank you. Andrew Garda, Cheesehead TV's own Andrew Garda, joining us on the show. Great to have his perspective, and glad he could talk to us here on a Wednesday morning. We'll be back again on Friday, as we do every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at Cheesehead TV. So make sure to join us then. We'll actually be talking to Pigskin Paul Guillemette, as we do every year on Friday. He'll be checking in from the site of the East-West Shrine Game. He's been checking out practices all week. He's been checking out prospects. He's seen Ted Thompson there and kind of seeing what he's looking at. So we'll get his perspective of the East-West Shrine Game on Friday. Excited to talk to him then. So make sure to join in and join us. That'll do it for today's episode. Stay tuned to CheeseheadTV.com for all your news needs all week long. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kirvu. We'll see you later, everyone. I leave you today with a song called Simple Gift of Man by Brothers Past on Psi Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.